I am welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a 13-8 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays. Man, that one felt good. Just seeing a little bit more than two or three runs scored a game just makes you believe all over again. Well, not quite, but you know what I mean. This game absolutely was a roller coaster. Rangers had, what, a 7-3 lead at one point. And we're going to get into everything here. We're going to talk about Evo and the rough start that he had. By the way, officially activating that clause in his contract, hit his innings count. So he now has a $20 million player option that he can either exercise or decline in the 2025 season. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about some of the players of the game. And there were a few of them on the offensive side of the ball. And much, much more. Go through the box score, preview tomorrow's game. Lots of good stuff ahead. We got a great show for you. Appreciate all of y'all choosing Right on Rangers for all of your Texas Rangers post-game analysis, in-game play-by-play analysis at times. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Well, let me get right into it here. Player of the game, I think we have to give to Wyatt Langford. Wyatt Langford with three total extra base hits today. A home run, no doubter, and on base five total times, two walks, adding to those three extra base hits as well. Look, MLB does player voting after, or I guess it's actually during the game in about the seventh inning, and I was shocked that at that point, Wyatt Langford did not have a higher win probability, as they call it. It was not even, I would say, top three or four. A little bit surprised how they actually calculate that. I mean, seriously, Wyatt Langford getting on base all five times, I believe, tonight. I'm not sure how you beat that for player of the game, but he's my player of the game. Regardless, Wyatt Langford really giving you a lot of hope for 2025, really giving you a lot of positive vibes that he might make a big step next year. You guys have heard me, those of you that have been listening to me for a while, I've been cautiously optimistic that Wyatt will continue to make positive strides. I know at the beginning of this year and just coming into the season, we all assumed that Wyatt was a foregone conclusion to be a staple in this lineup. And clearly, that's still a possibility, maybe a little bit below or behind schedule, I should say. But Wyatt Langford giving you a lot of confidence that 2025 is going to be a year that he can really solidify himself as a staple in the middle of the order. I think that to make him at this point or crown him as, you know, our three-hole, four-hole hitter going into next year, I don't want to put a label on it just yet. But I'm willing to say middle of the order. I think right where he's at right now is a great spot for him to be. I know that he's been hitting third, mixing in a little bit more towards the top of the lineup, which I think is great. I think Wyatt ideally protects Corey Seager. That's the ideal situation. I think Wyatt ideally becomes that guy that can protect Corey Seager from you from the three spot. I'm assuming Corey is still going to be batting second next year, which I assume he probably will be. That would be the dream because in free agency, you just don't know if the Rangers are going to go out and get anybody. I really don't think you can count on Dolley to be Mr. Rebound in 2025. I hope to be wrong. Please prove me wrong, Adolis Garcia, who had a nice game today, by the way. We'll get to him in a little bit. But I think at this point, you got to have to count on Wyatt to be the guy. If you are looking for someone, anyone that is going to be able to protect Seager, the only other option I would say at this point is Marcus Semien. And I don't know if Semien is cut out to be three-hole at this point. I think he might be better served being a leadoff hitter, although the numbers were bad this year for Marcus. There's really only those two options in my mind. I do not give really anybody else or rate anyone else that's currently on the roster to be our three-hole hitter. I hate to put the pressure on Wyatt, really do. But I think he has got to be the guy, and I hope that he can continue to take positive strides. Look, if you don't have him start out at three-hole next year, he's got to be no lower than fifth. I mean, I think that that is absolutely an obvious statement to make, but you never know with Bruce Bochy. Honestly, some of the lineups have really confused me at times, and I don't know if I think it's just tinkering in September, if you know what I mean. But even in the middle of the season, Boch has done some interesting things. Look, that's why they pay him the big bucks. But at the same time, I think it'd be a crime to bat him any lower than fifth going into 2025. save a huge free agent signing in terms of bats. So we'll see what happens, but Wyatt, got to be the player of the game for me. The big lead tonight. Just a lot of excitement, I think, is going to keep building around him into next year. We'll see what he does in spring training and into the season, but I imagine the play is going to be heart of the order type bat, and it is great to see the power and the extra base hits coming for a while. We were getting the singles. We were getting the ground ball, beat it out, infield hits, and now we're seeing the power start to come. And we've always said here on the show, and I think you guys have echoed this, when the power starts to come for Wyatt, that's when you know that he's going to be on. That's when he's clicking. That's when he may be turning a corner, and I think you're finally starting to see that from him. I love it. And in a season of disappointment, and let's be real, that's what it is. It's a disappointing year. It's nice to take away some of these positives at the end of the year, no doubt. Let me get some comments here. Appreciate all y'all. Yep, Natalie, what's up? Langford, player of the game, same page. Absolutely. This did feel like a 2023 game. I mean, either that or early 2000s Rangers baseball, where you're just in a slugfest and whoever scores the most runs wins. I mean, those of y'all that are diehards that have been around for a while, you remember those early 2000s years. We had no pitching. Well, we did have some pitching, but it didn't work out very well for us. And the offense was awesome. We'd have a lot of double-digit games, but we'd lose games 13 to 11, you know, 15 to 12. I know y'all remember some of those. It felt like one of those tonight, especially when Nate Eovaldi gives up the 7-3 lead right out the gate, right? It's 3-2. Rangers put up a 5 spot, and then promptly Evo gives up the lead. Just an off night for him. That's what I'm going to chalk it up to, honestly. And you know what? At the end of the season, it is tough. You are not in a position to win games. Evo's a competitor. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say he mailed this one in or anything like that. I have a lot more respect for him than that, but I absolutely think it's tough at this last month of the year to really grind out every single pitch and at bat. You got to do it. You're paid to do it, but it doesn't shock me when guys have off nights in these quote unquote meaningless games in September. I mean, these games don't matter for the Rangers. They matter in terms of development and positivity and momentum for 2025, but it's not going to be the difference in us playing in October. I mean, I think that's not quite settled yet, but it's getting there. But look, Evo has an off night. It happens. I think you don't need to read into it anymore. I think some people maybe will have a harsher reaction than I will, but I say, you know, it's an off night. And I think Evo has got to be priority number one in the offseason. But the nice thing with Evo, I really do feel like if for whatever reason you can't re-sign him, for whatever reason, if it falls through, and he goes somewhere else. I mean, God forbid Houston. I think those of y'all that were watching with me a few weeks ago, that report came out, you know, Evo from the Houston area. Would he go back to the Houston area, sign with the Astros? My goodness, please, God, no. But at the same time, if he did the unthinkable, went to Houston or went to another team, I do think the Rangers are well positioned to fill the void. It's hard to fill Evo's shoes completely. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be perfect, but without Evo, let's just run through the pitching rotation. You've got Jacob DeGrom. You've got Kumar Rocker. You've got Cody Bradford. You've got Tyler Mahle. You definitely still have like a John Gray, but personally, I'd rather not see John Gray be a starting pitcher. I mean, that's a solid four. Jack Leiter, I think, could be a fifth. Let's see how Leiter progresses. Look, that's a pretty solid rotation, especially when you go DeGrom. And I think Rocker is going to continue to get better and better, just like Wyatt Langford. I think you can insert Rocker at minimum as your number three guy. And I think you hope Rocker becomes the number two right behind DeGrom. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe I'm getting over my skis a little bit with Rocker. But the point is, if Evo does not come back, I am going to be upset and disappointed because he's such a huge part of the 2023 team and he's provided so much leadership. But I don't know if I'm going to be as down in the dumps as maybe I'd be with somebody else. I think Evo obviously getting up there in terms of years. I think that if we did lose him in free agency, we would be able to stomach it. I think everybody knows who's watched a lot of games this season. The Rangers' real problem is the bats. And tonight, they were on full display of what they can do, but we've seen the other side. It's too bad there can't be more of a consistent middle ground with the offense right now. Obviously, you're missing Corey Seager, but it's feast or famine. And look, I'm here for the feast. Don't get me wrong. I am here for the feast. But the famine sucks. It is absolutely terrible when the Rangers' bats are not clicking. We saw literally, I mean, this is a perfect back-to-back, right? You had Sunday getting shut out, one hit. And tonight, you've got 13 runs scored. And I believe the Rangers left 13 runners on base. I mean, you couldn't have more polar opposite offensive performances. Seriously. Let me keep going here with comments. Man, I'm on fire tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a lot to say tonight. It's going to be a great show, like I told y'all, but let me get you involved right now. What a great game, Tristan. Appreciate you, bud. What a great comeback as well. I mean, look, this was 3-0 early. I'm glad Tristan brings this up. It was 3-0 early in this one. It did not look promising, just the way Evo started, the way he was getting hit around. And look, I know Bassett, not the best pitcher by any means that the Jays were throwing tonight, but after getting shut out 7-0, you just kind of felt like, is this going to be a repeat of what we just saw? Like, are we serious? We're throwing Evo tonight, and he's getting roughed up. Is the offense just going to roll over again? So the comeback, huge, loved it. I mean, these are the fun wins that I'm talking about that I just was hoping the Rangers would provide us with down the stretch. If we're not going to make the playoffs, at least give us some fun memories and moments in September that we can build off of going into 2025 and into the offseason. Baseball Network, I love this, man. You're not giving up. I love it, bro. We're now 7 games behind in the wild card. Man, that, you know what? That's the spirit right there. That is the spirit. It would be wild. I mean, look, it's fun to watch history happen. I'm not counting on it, but if there was some kind of epic collapse and the Rangers just happened to win their last 12 games or however many's left, right? It was one game 151 tonight, so you got 11 games left. I mean, look, I would be pumped if that happened, beside myself. I mean, insert whatever phrase you want to throw in there. That would be insane. But look, it would take an epic collapse from some of the teams in front. But hey, win the last 10, 11 in a row, and why not us? See what happens. I like the spirit. I appreciate you. Oh, that Leody home run was nice. Nice work on the call. I can't say I had Leody home run dialed up in that at bat, but look, when Leody drives the ball, it in a way, it's like, I don't want to say it depresses me or anything like that. I don't want to get too dramatic, but the dude has a sweet swing when he hits bombs. I mean, look, and I know most home runs, the swing's nice in general, but you just see what Leody's capable of, and you just shake your head like, dude, why can't we have this more consistently? Every time he hits those home runs, those laser shots out to right center field, I'm just like, why can he not do this with just a little more consistency? I get it. Baseball is a hard game. Leody had a nice night tonight. Great night for Leody. In fact, we're going to get all the box score and all that. We're just going rapid reaction right now. We'll get into the numbers and everything in just a little bit, but we got to enjoy this one, y'all. Look, it's not often we get to watch an offensive outburst like this. It's just fun. When the Rangers' bats are hot and they're getting the big hit with runners in scoring position, they're hitting homers, it's just phenomenal. It's so fun to watch, an absolute treat. So we got to enjoy this one, no doubt. Let me keep going here. Hey, Baseball Network, maybe we can talk about this. Send me a DM. We'll talk more about this, see if we can work something out. I appreciate that. Yeah, I know. We always have some dumb comments coming in, but you know what? I try to just ignore and keep moving. But hey, let's talk after the show. Maybe we can work something out. Let me keep going. Ah, hello from Russia. Wow, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you. Or wherever you're at in the United States, I shouldn't assume. Let me keep going. Evo's worst game of the season, Aaron, by far. I'm just going through comments, by the way. TikTok, I'm not trying to leave y'all hanging, so let me see if I missed y'all too. Definitely, though, Aaron, worst game of the season from Evo. Like I said, it's just tough here in September. I'm not excusing Evo, but I'm just saying these are like non-competitive games, essentially. And, you know, Evo's got his innings marker. I'm not saying he mailed it in. I don't want anybody accusing me of that. But I'm just not shocked that an off game happens. Let's see. Got some comments here. The irony of the Rangers having inconsistent batting legit baffles me. I mean, look, unpack that a little bit more, but it's just disappointing. The Rangers, return pretty much the entire offense, minus Mitch Garver from 2023. So it's just ironic in general that a World Series team would be this bad, right? This bad, this inconsistent from night to night, offensively especially. Pitching's been pretty good this year. Rangers won, absolutely. Good stuff. Thoughts on Rocker? He seems like a good third pitcher. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I think Rocker is going to be low-end, a number three type guy. I think high-end, he's number two behind DeGrom. I don't want to get ahead of myself. He has one start to his name. He's got, I'm sure, some lumps to take, some growing pains. But that slider plays. I think we can all agree that slider is one of the filthiest in Major League Baseball. They did some advanced stats on it. I was listening on MLB Network on my drive to work one day, and they were talking about how it compares, how his slider, Kumar Rocker, stacks up against some of the well-known best sliders in the bigs. It's right up there. Just the way that it drops, like the bottom falls out of it, the spin, the rotation he gets on it. I think Kumar Rocker is going to be very, very good. Kumar Rocker is absolutely, I think, going to be a number three low end for us next season. Let me keep going here. Make sure I didn't forget anybody on TikTok. I think y'all know the setup. We got TikTok on the phone up here, and we've got everybody else straight ahead. So anyways, for any of y'all new, I promise I'm not talking to nobody. Let me keep going here. Do I have any college locks this weekend? For college football, I got to be completely 100 with you. I have not looked at a lot of the college football matchups yet. But normally, once Thursday, Friday hits, I start looking a lot more. So look, you want college picks, come on back. We can talk college football a little later in the week. All right, y'all, I got caught up on TikTok. Let me lock back in here. Aaron, worst game of the season from Evo. Hopefully in his last start, however many has left, he can bounce back, finish on a positive. Last start potentially for him, though, at Globe Life. I mean, that just feels wrong saying. I really do think he needs to be priority number one in the offseason. Bring him back on a 2-3 year deal, something like that, and see if he can run it back and still – continue this great tenure that he's had with the Rangers. I mean, look, the ERA bounces up to a little closer to four after tonight, the 7 runs scored against him. But nevertheless, I think Evo, by and large, has had a pretty solid season. And of course, he's just one of those guys that is always going to be able to turn it on in October. He just becomes a different pitcher when the lights get brighter. So I think it is a huge, huge priority for the Rangers to do their due diligence, make Evo a solid offer. Do not lowball Nate Eovaldi. Keep going here. I appreciate the compliment. Look, maybe one day. For now, I'll have fun hanging out with all you guys, but we'll see. I would love to be able to do some TV for the Rangers. That would be the dream job. Traveling with the team, talking Rangers baseball full time. I mean, y'all know, I think y'all picked up, this is kind of a side gig for me at this point. I love it. Super passionate about it. Maybe one day, but I appreciate that. Let me see. I know this is in reference to what I was saying about Evo. Look, the journalists throw out lots of stuff all the time. And look, I'll edit stuff. You know what I want to say. They put out stuff all the time to try and get clicks. So the Evo to Houston thing, that was legitimate. I'm pretty sure I read that in a Sports Illustrated article. And look, I understand that not all sources are super reliable, but that I think would be worst case scenario. Evo is from the Houston area, so you would kind of understand it. That being said, come on now. You pitched against the Astros for several years now with the Rangers. You won a World Series for the first time for the Rangers. Dude, come on. We got to stick in Arlington here. You can't go play for the enemy. Cannot go play for the enemy. Let's see here. Aaron says, have to figure on injuries at this point. We've had them every season, have a surplus of pitching and long relief guys. Yeah, I mean, look, I got to admit where I was wrong, where Right on Rangers was wrong here. I said at the trade deadline, you have a surplus of pitching. Trade Mike Lorenzen. Maybe trade Urania. I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, we, turns out, needed those guys. If we had Mike Lorenzen right now, look, it's nice to have Pennington. Don't get me wrong. But look, having Mike Lorenzen with all these injuries might have been nice. It was a little bit ugly at times with what the Rangers were having to put together, no doubt. So I think at the end of the day, the Lorenzen trade was the right move, but perhaps it would be a good idea. And I think the Rangers will do it. Go load up on some 1-2 year deals, some solid bets, some starters, maybe guys that can be that 6th spot starter for you. you know what I mean? Maybe a guy that can be a little hybrid of each, kind of like Dane Dunning has been for us. I do hope Dane Dunning turns it around. If Dane can be back to the guy that he was in 2023 with, what, the 370s ERA, that was Dane Dunning. I think Dane Dunning won double-digit games in 2023 and had like a 370s ERA. Can we get that dude back? That would be huge if we could get that Dane Dunning back, because that gives you that fifth, sixth starter, gives you that interesting bullpen piece come playoff time. I still think the Rangers would be wise to get a vet on a 1 or 2 year deal, whoever it might be. But I do think the Rangers pitching staff in 2025 is in good hands. Let me keep going. Totally agree. I think, John, we read out the stat that 13 runners were left on base tonight. However, the Rangers were 6-for-18 with runners in scoring position. So 333 BA, not bad. But 18 runners in scoring position opportunities, that's got to be a season high. I mean, I would love to see what game tops this one in terms of opportunities with runners in scoring position. There might be one or two other ones, but you guys know, I look at pretty much every box score every night. I think that this has got to be one of the highest opportunities, amount of opportunities we've had with runners in scoring position. This could have easily been a night the Rangers maybe sniffed 20 runs had they actually come through with runners on base. And we're going to go through the individual performances once I make it through all the comments, but I agree, this could have been a lot uglier. I do hope, like Natalie's saying here in this comment, I hope the offense is more consistent next year. I think if you add a couple of stable veteran guys in free agency, they need to be a step or a league above Robbie Grossman and Travis Shankowski, if you will. But if you can add some solid veteran guys that can maybe help bring some consistency to the lineup, guys that aren't feast or famine, extra base hit or strikeout a la Adolis Garcia, although he had two singles tonight. So there's that. But I think that if we had some guys that were more contact type hitters, guys that put the ball in play with more frequency, maybe guys with some speed on the base pass, I think the Rangers would do well to go after some guys like that in free agency. And there's a few that we've gone over. And during the offseason, I think I've plugged this a couple of times, but I am going to be going live once a week during the offseason. I'm going to try and pick a consistent day, and we'll do hot stove stuff. We'll do free agents. We'll do Rangers rumors. We'll do some mailbag type stuff. Always take your comments and questions. So I'm really looking forward to the offseason show. And it's just fun to start flushing this year down the drain a little bit, so to speak, and getting into happier thoughts 2025 and all the Rangers can be next season. So more on that offseason show as it gets closer, but wanted to plug that for you guys real quick. Let me keep going here. Brett, come on now. Astros 2024 champs. Let's not get too crazy tonight. I think that the Astros may win a round in the playoffs. I would be very surprised. I've said this so many times. It would shock me if the Astros make it to the World Series, let alone win it. I could see ALCS, which I don't want to see, but I could see the Astros in the ALCS. Could I see them getting knocked out first round? Absolutely. It really just depends on their pitching. You've got Valdez, Verlander, and Hunter Brown, basically. I mean, I don't know. I think that they are going to need a little bit more pitching help than what they've got. I know they have Kikuchi as well. I don't rate any of those guys super high beyond Valdez. Verlander might be a guy that can flip the switch in October. I don't know. I'm not sold on World Series, even making it to the World Series, let alone winning it. Let me keep going here. I'm reading through some of the comments right now. Somebody says, what are my thoughts on the Seahawks? Don't have any right now. All right, I can't put all these up, but I'll keep trying to go through. All right, next up, you know, when Leody is hitting home runs, he's gonna have a good week. I hope so. Come on, Leody, have a good homestand for the fans. Let's go. Have a good final homestand for the fans. We know how Leody works. It's one good week followed by about three terrible ones. So I'm hoping that this last homestand is the one really amazing week for Leody. And then after that, you know what? If you want to stink it up on the road, so be it. But come on, give the home fans something to cheer for. Give them something to cheer for. I should start hitting up Jared. I would love to get on the podcast with Jared, no doubt. That would be phenomenal. Look, something like that would be an absolute dream. I'm not getting my hopes up. I will take this. I'm a count my blessings kind of guy. I will take the blessing of having all y'all to talk Rangers baseball with. So don't get me wrong at all. Would I love to hit the big time? Absolutely. Do I enjoy thoroughly just getting to shoot the breeze with you guys after every game on here? Yes, sir. All right, let me keep going. What do they plan to do with Leiter next year? My thought on Leiter is they're going to try to make him the fifth starter. I think that is a great role for him. I think you're going to go, and maybe he's not going to be the fifth starter if you have Evo come back. But think about it. Let's say you do have Evo back. You have DeGrom, Evo, Rocker, Bradford, Malley. There's five right there. Now, you can't assume they're all going to stay healthy the entire season, but Leiter may be on the outside looking in. Now, could he be that maybe bullpen long relief guy? I don't know, but I just wonder if they're going to be hesitant to bullpen him full time. He is the first round, second overall pick. Do you really want to start turning that guy into an innings eater? But do you really want him to be down in AAA? I think it's going to be tough. I really do, but it depends. I think if Evo comes back, it's going to be tough for Jack Leiter to get consistent starts. Unless they're going with a six-man rotation, which they very well might. That could be a strong possibility. And look, I'm assuming they're not going to put John Gray in the starting rotation. I'm assuming they're not going to. But they very well could decide that they want John Gray. But as I stack it up, I just don't know who John Gray replaces. I'd rather have Malley than John Gray. I'd rather have Rocker than John Gray. I'd probably rather see Leiter get innings than John Gray. So I'm just assuming that John Gray is going to be a bullpen guy next year, but maybe the Rangers have other plans. Who knows what CY is cooking up? So we will see. Time will tell on that one. This game almost made me forget Adolis' outfield play. Yeah, I don't know. I know that one hit in the early innings that got over his head. I commented on it in the Texas Rangers fans only chat, but it just seemed like he took a terrible route to the baseball. It was basically directly to his right, and he should have been going back and to the right. It just seemed like a bad route, more so than like not hustling or dogging it. So I don't know. I'd have to go back and do a big, you know, breakdown replay of it. But when they did the wide shot, it really looked like the angle was poor and he misjudged the ball. So Dolly has, you know, not had a great, you know, campaign post Gold Glove. He got the Gold Glove last year. I would say he hasn't followed it up awesome this year. He's had some great throws. I mean, you've still seen him gun down runners here and there throughout the season. But the actual play out in the outfield, you haven't seen a ton of highlight reel. There's been a few, but you see a lot bouncing in front. You see a lot going just over the head. I don't know. For me, I think that Dolly has done a bit of a poor job defending his Gold Glove title in right field, earned in 2023. So let me keep going here. Yep, we're getting excited. Hockey, basketball. We got, obviously, NFL and college football in full swing. It's a great time to be a sports fan. It'd be even better if the Rangers were going to the playoffs. Let me keep going. Let me get one more comment in here. Hey, thanks for confirming this. Aaron was at the game, happened right in front of him. Yeah, again, just appeared that on that ball, not going to get the inning and, you know, batter perfectly here, but it was a ball. He was going to his right. It was kind of hit right center, and it looked like he just took off immediately, beeline, straight line to his right. Should have been going right and going back at a little bit more of an angle. Just looked like a classic misjudge. Like I said, just seems a little off out there. I don't know if the offense is affecting the field play, just the overall. I don't know. I'm not Adolis, and you don't really get reporters asking Adolis the hard-hitting questions about this kind of stuff. So I don't know. But Adolis has not been super, super impressive out in right field this year beyond a few laser throws, because the dude does have an absolute cannon. I don't think any of us can deny that. No, Cowboy fan, no chance for wild card. But Baseball Network and you would be great friends. Baseball Network still holding out some hope. I don't know. I'm not holding out hope that the Rangers can still make the playoffs. No, they're not technically eliminated, but look, I'm not going to blow out anyone's candle on this one. If you want to hope for the Rangers playoff chances until the bitter end, I have a lot of respect for you. You're not going to get any hate from me. Let me keep on going here though. Box score. Let's check it out. We've already done a little bit of that, mixing it in off my memory, but now we get into the specifics. So Marcus Semien, 0-for-4 on the night, did score a couple of runs, reaching from a walk and I think from a fielder's choice as well. So Semien goes 0-for-4, 235 batting average on the year. Josh Smith, 1-for-4, had an RBI as well and a walk. So on base a couple of different times, not bad. Wyatt, we talked about the player of the game. Look, I misspoke earlier. He actually had 6 plate appearances and reached in 5 of 6. I said 5 of 5. I mean, nevertheless, still an outstanding night from Wyatt Langford. Gotta love what he brought to the table tonight. Doley had 2 singles and 3 RBI along with 2 walks. He was on base 4 different times tonight. This is the kind of performance from Adolis that we were hoping to get all season long. Man, I hope he can finish on a positive note. I know we've done a lot of dogging on Adolis. And look, I think deservedly so. He's had a terrible year. And the Rangers really haven't done him a lot of favors by continuing to play him in the cleanup spot, by continuing to play him high in the lineup. I think you almost kind of put a magnifier on it, on the bad situation when you continue to bat these guys high who are having bad years. But you know what? It was a nice night for Adolis, and I hope he builds off of it. Clearly, we're never rooting for any Rangers player to not do well, but we do speak truth through stats, and the stats don't lie with Adolis. It's not been a great year, but could we get some positive momentum for 2025? That's my hope. Nate Lowe, 1-for-5 tonight with a walk. Rangers worked 9 walks tonight. That's got to be close to a season high as well, or one of the highest walk totals for the Rangers hitters over the course of the season. So Nate Lowe on base. Only extra base hits tonight, by the way. Leote's home run, Wyatt Langford's home run, and then Jonah Heim's double and Wyatt Langford's 2 doubles. So you had essentially 5 extra base hits tonight from Rangers players, everything else singles. Josh Young, 1-for-4 with a walk. That was, I guess, kind of the popular order tonight. 1-for-4 with a walk. Rangers also only struck out, looks like. Strikeout total is still a little bit high. Foscue, I think, really brought that one down. I'm going to try not to go off on Justin Foscue tonight because I've done it already, y'all. I'm going to try. I might not be able to help myself, but Foscue striking out 3 times tonight kind of brought that strikeout total a little bit higher than what it might have been otherwise. But Jonah Heim, good to see him with a pulse. Can we agree? I mean, Jonah Heim had 1 RBI in September so far. 1 RBI. We're at September 17th at this point. I mean, the guy was in a terrible slump. I'm really glad to see him come up with the game-winning RBI tonight. Tie game, Jonah Heim, I believe singles, right? Singles to drive in 2 runs to make it 9-7. So good for Jonah. 2-for-4, had a walk as well. You hope, and I've said this so many times with Jonah, I hope that like the 8th time is a charm here, but I just hope that this gets him going. We need Jonah Heim to be good next year. That would unlock so much for this offense. If Jonah could be even a little bit below where he was in 2023, it would be so huge for this lineup. So I love seeing Jonah get the game-winning RBI tonight. Rangers never looked back or relinquished the lead after Heim's big hit, and I believe that was the bottom of the 8th inning. Let's go to the bottom of the 8th, by the way. We're not going to go through the entire game. There's a lot to go through if we want to do that. But bottom of the 8th inning, let's go to it right now. Starts out with a Josh Young strikeout. Jonah Heim doubled. So actually, I misspoke. That was actually what earlier on in the game. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. My mistake on that one. That must have been in the bottom of the 6th inning. Yes, correct. All right, bottom of the 6th. My bad. Backtrack a little bit. Bottom of the 6th starts out with an Adolis Garcia single. Nate Lowe walks. Josh Young singles. And at that point, we had bases loaded. Nobody out, and we had Jonah Heim coming up with a big hit, a big single, a ground ball to George Springer to make it a 9-7 ball game. Leote would get out on a fielder's choice. Foscue would go on to strike out, and then Marcus Semien flew out to left field. Was that Semien fly out the really nice play? I'm going to look at this real quick if I can while we're live here. So Marcus Semien, bottom of the 6th inning, 2 outs with runners on 2nd and 3rd. That's a nice play in the gap there. That is not an easy catch. Whoever that was, that is an outstanding play by the left fielder on that Marcus Semien ball in the bottom of the 6th inning. Wow, props to him. So bottom of the 6th inning, is when Jonah Heim gets the big single to drive in two. Bottom of the eighth inning is when Heim added the double. So there we go. Now back on track here, Leody 3-for-5, 2 RBI, 2 runs. Let's see what Leody's doing the past 7 games. Let's see if he's already on a heater or if he's just getting started with one. So I would not say he's on a heater quite yet. 263 over the last 7 games, but 2 home runs in his last 19 at-bats, that's something. Hopefully, like I said, this entire homestand, we can get a Leody heater. That is what I would absolutely love to see. The home fans would love to see it too. Let's go. We're manifesting it right now. All right, let's keep rolling. We got to talk a little Justin Foscue. I don't understand why Dustin Harris isn't up. Let's make this less about Foscue, more about Harris. It's pretty clear that Foscue is a little bit over his skis at the moment. And I really don't know why they continue to put him into this position. I know he's hitting last, so there's literally hardly any pressure on him. But at the same time, I don't understand why they're not giving an opportunity to somebody else. It's clear Foscue can't hack it right now. And look, just being totally honest, it's not just bad luck. It's ugly. Like the pitches that he was swinging at in his last at-bat were terrible. He swung on a 2-0 pitch that was like low and a foot outside and almost hit the dirt. Like you watch the at-bats and it just doesn't look comfortable. There are some foul offs, so it's not like he's going up there not making any contact, period. But I just think that they need to let him reset. I know the AAA season is coming to a close, but I just do not understand why they continue to trot him out there. You might as well play Travis Jankowski every night. I know that you're trying to see what you have in Foscue, but it's a fine line. You don't want to ruin the guy's confidence. And I do think you are starting to breach that a little bit. You saw what happened with Wenzel. They kind of just kept trotting him out there. It was clear that he wasn't ready for major leagues, and they kept on giving Wenzel opportunity after opportunity, and he kept on struggling, and eventually they DFA'd him. Now, is Foscue's fate going to be similar? I would say yes if he keeps on hitting like this. I don't know what their AAA situation is going to be looking like completely next year, but you have to decide, do we want to take away at-bats from somebody else, or do we want to give them to Justin Foscue? I can't imagine that Foscue is going to be somebody that the Rangers carry on the major league roster on opening day. I would be very, very surprised. Right now, I'd love to see them give somebody else an opportunity. You've got 2 weeks left in the season. Let's see what Dustin Harris can do. I have no idea why they're not trying that out, but they sure probably have their reasons. I can't think of what they are right now. I don't have anything for you guys. It's inexplicable to me. The dude is batting 0.059, 059 with a 199 OPS. And look, a few apologists, as I like to call them, in defense of Foscue have said it's a small sample size. So it's 34 at-bats. Do the simple math on that. It's about 8 or 9 games worth of at-bats. It's a small sample size. But what you're seeing looks pretty ugly. Like I said, it's not like this is a ton of bad luck. Foscue is scorching the baseball right at people. Atom balls all over the yard. And he's just getting unlucky. The BABIP is off the charts. I mean, I don't think that that is what is going on with Justin Foscue. It's not getting unlucky. It's over your skis. Not ready. And I would like to see somebody else get an opportunity. I just don't think it's going to happen. John, I agree. I don't know how he's still on the major league roster. It might just be a situation where they've just said, you know what? The season is what it is. We're just going to ride with Foscue on the major league roster for now. I don't know. Mariners are losing and the Astros are tied. Okay. Hey, look, can we get a double up on the losses? I'd like to see it. Give me a Mariners L and an Astros L just for fun. I'll take it. All right. Forget Harris and Foscue. I don't know why Sandro is on the roster at all. I don't get it. If you're not going to give him at bats, I do totally understand the idea and the point there. It's got to be a little bit frustrating for him, I'm sure. So you're getting the call up and you're watching Foscue get these at bats when we've got a guy that probably should be at this point getting some reps over him. So, yeah, I can't imagine that Sandro's super pumped about sitting the bench while Foscue hits 059. But you know what? It is what it is. Hopefully he'll get some opportunities. I don't understand completely what the Rangers are doing. I really don't understand that at all. But you know what? They get paid the big bucks. That's always my excuse when nothing makes sense. Chris Young and Bruce Bochy get paid a lot of money to do what they do. We have to remember they do know a few things. And so when nothing makes sense, that is going to be what my default always is. Absolutely. Man, look at you given the background details here. Yep, I know a thing or two. I do some teaching, do some coaching. UNLV. Running Rebels got a team this year. Look, I can't say I am an avid UNLV fan, but at the same time, I do like seeing them do well. They are the alma mater. But at the same, you know, look, they've been bad in football, especially forever. Basketball had its heyday way back when in the 90s. But I'll tell you what, it's definitely looking bright for the Running Rebels. It's good to have a new coach in the mix from the SEC, Odom. I'm excited about that. But enough about the Rebels. We can talk about that on College Football Day. Somebody on TikTok says, I'm already looking forward. JJ says, I'm already looking forward to 2025 already. I'm pumped for next year, especially Rocker. Couldn't agree more. I really could not agree more. I love what the Rangers have for 2025. You're talking a full season of DeGrom, hopefully a full season of Rocker, a full season of Josh Young, a full season of Wyatt Langford. We forget Wyatt Langford missed almost a month of the season. Hopefully a full season of Evan Carter. I mean, we're like wrapping these off right now. Like, there's so many guys that did not play a full season this year. Maybe by some miracle, some Christmas miracle, we'll get a full season of Corey Seager. I love Seager. You know I do. He's my favorite Ranger. But Corey Seager, not a guy that you can necessarily count on for 162 or even a buck 50. So I hope that we can get full seasons of all these guys. And I really do feel like 2025 is going to be a bright year for Texas. Look, Walcott, double A right now. I don't know if Walcott is going to be a guy that contributes at the big league level next year. Is he getting a lot of rave reviews? Yes. The speed, the pop, the glove, the range. I really do think, and we've talked about this multiple times, so I'll keep it short for my longtime viewers, but I really do think Seager is going to move eventually. It's been rumored and talked about quite extensively in Rangers circles. I think that is the right move. Don't make Walcott move positions. Corey Seager, I mean, look, Mike Trout, news came out today for Mike Trout that he's open to moving positions from center field. Why? Because it's a taxing position. You got to cover the most ground out there. You go to a corner outfield spot, it's a little less taxing on the body. Or you go to DH, obviously, it's a little less taxing on the body. Now, we'll see what happens with Seager, but my hope would be eventually he becomes more of a DH first baseman type. He's a tall guy. He's 6'4". He's got the body for first base. It's not an easy position to play. Some people have that misconception. First base, Ron Washington said it well. He's been on the record. And if you've seen Moneyball, his character said it too. First base is one of the hardest positions to play. It's extremely difficult. There are a lot of different components to first base that not a lot of people think about if all you've played when it comes to baseball is backyard wiffle ball. Like, there's a lot to the first base position. So I think Seager is a cerebral enough player to be able to transition to that, but I'm not sure what his feelings are on it. It's not like people are asking him, Corey, how would you feel about first base? I haven't heard the interview. So my hope is that eventually that does happen, paving a way for Walcott, but I really don't think Walcott is going to be a contributor next year, at least a big-time one. Could Walcott maybe get a call-up? I think that's possible, maybe in September. I don't know, but I just don't see Walcott being a guy that breaks the 2025 opening day roster. Aaron, I agree. I need a little time off. Look, I'm going to watch the postseason. Might do some postseason content here and there. Not a lot, because I really prefer to keep this more on the Rangers side of things, unless it is like a huge MLB news story. I like to keep this mainly Rangers focused, but I'll be doing some postseason coverage. And then I will be interested in the offseason. I'm going to really try and have my ear to the ground a lot more, paying a lot more attention to all the little moves the Rangers are making. Like I said, we'll definitely do a show weekly to go through anything offseason, anything you guys want to talk about, and I'll lay out everything that I've heard Rangers related, give you guys a little rundown and recap. It's going to be awesome. We'll keep going here. Aaron says, if any current minor leaguer is going to make an EC and Evan Carter-like run and come up by the end of next season, Alejandro Osuna. That is a good one. I think Walcott, like Aaron is saying, is still probably a year away or two. Alejandro Osuna, I've heard that name and I've seen a few clips of him play. I can't say I'm overly familiar with all the guys in our minor leagues, but let me give you an idea of what he's doing so far. So right now, playing outfield at Frisco for Double A, 292 average, 18 bombs, 61 RBI, 17 stolen bases, 362 OBP. The OPS is at 869. So he's had a great year down there. He was at High A to start the year, and they moved him up to Double A. Since joining Double A Frisco, he's batting 306 with 9 bombs, 32 RBI. He's got a 379 OBP in his 57 games at Frisco. So, look, not a guy that I was clued in on. I look casually at the Double A and Triple A stats, but I think Osuna absolutely is going to be a guy. Good find to Aaron. All the credit to you, my friend. I think he's definitely going to be a guy that the Rangers are going to look at. And we do need outfielders. I think that's clear. You've got EC, but is he going to be healthy for all of 2025? Is he going to be able to hit lefties? You've got Doley, a lot of question marks around Adolis Garcia. There's absolutely room for some outfielders. I would prefer the Rangers sign one rather than count on more minor leaguers. Just that's my opinion. But if this guy can come up, if Osuna can come up and make some noise, I'm all for it. EBL, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. EBL says, have you heard anything about Ohtani pitching in the playoffs? So the GM of the Dodgers actually came out and said he's not pitching this season. And I don't think this is an exact quote, but basically he's not pitching this season, period. Then Dave Roberts, manager of the Dodgers, came out and was basically like, I'm not ruling it out. So I think that maybe you could see Ohtani best case in like a kind of a WBC closer type role like he was when he faced off against Mike Trout in that epic battle. I think maybe you could see him in that kind of role, but that would be if they made it deep into the playoffs. I would not count on Ohtani being a pitcher this year unless they make it really, really deep. I know Ohtani's been working hard, and you've seen the rehab videos coming out, the throwing videos coming out from him. I'm excited to see Shohei in October. I can't say I'm a big, big Dodgers fan. I don't hate the Dodgers by any means, just not a big Dodgers fan. But I do pay attention to the Dodgers. It's hard not to. They're literally on the homepage for MLB every single night. Like, I'll be shocked if I go to MLB.com right now and it's not either Shohei or Mookie. Let's see what it is. It's literally Shohei crushing his 48th home run. Like, you can't make this up. Go to MLB.com if you don't believe me. And I promise you I didn't look that up in advance. Every night it's either Shohei, Mookie. Maybe you get somebody else in the mix here and there. But literally 4 to 5 nights out of 7 in a week, it's a Dodgers player. You can almost count on it. But look, I like watching Shohei play the game. He's got a beautiful swing. The best baseball player on the planet, in my opinion. So how would you not want to watch that? So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It might work out. That would be really fun. Shohei closing, that would be phenomenal. Look. If it's like Astros, Dodgers, I will gladly cheer for the Dodgers. I will become the biggest Dodgers fan on the planet if the Astros make it to the World Series. Wouldn't that be a great World Series? I would not like it at first only because it's meaning that the Astros are that much closer to getting another World Series championship. But I would love for them to play each other, rematch of 2017, and then you go ahead and you have the Dodgers winning it. That would be heavenly. The Astros lose in the World Series again. I would love to see that. So we'll see. Look, I will, like I said, become the biggest Dodgers fan on the planet. Whoever is playing the Astros, I would consider wearing that team's jersey and hat on a given night. Like if I do a Rangers live during the week, kind of a postseason, I will gladly, whoever the Astros are playing, I'll see if I can find something to wear. Gladly will support that team if the Rangers aren't in it. Let me keep going here. Let's see. This would be, from an analyst view, I feel like this would be like a Pittsburgh Steelers season. It's hard. It's always the Cowboys year. It's always the Cowboys year. Look, I can't say I'm feeling great about this year, but we'll see. But more Cowboys later on in the week. We'll see what happens with this week's game against the Ravens. Oh, Osuna. Going back to Osuna. Minor league player of the year. Look, the dude is on a roll. Hitting over 300 since getting promoted to double A. Awesome. Awesome. All right, I'll keep going. Preach anyone over the Astros. Amen. Louder for the people in the back. Yep, it is every night, John. Every night. It's either Judge and Soto. Thank you. It's Judge, Soto, Otani, and maybe Mookie occasionally. Maybe Mookie occasionally. Let's see here. Yeah, EBL agreed. No trash cans or vibrator under the shirt this time. Yeah, no problem. That's just what I heard. Look, I watch a lot of MLB Network. I listen to a lot of MLB radio when I'm out and about driving around, and they kick around a lot of stuff. But that's basically the last that I heard about Ohtani pitching. All right, let me keep going here. Baseball Network, appreciate all the comments tonight. Yeah, MLB The Show, love that. I need to do another MLB The Show video eventually. I had fun making that video way back when, after we lost that series to the A's in April, and I had to get on MLB The Show and beat the A's like 38-0. I'm going to have to do another MLB The Show video and post it, do another shorter reel. But I appreciate this comment. Look, we all love sports here, clearly. And as I said earlier, it is a great, great opportunity for me to get to do this with you guys. I absolutely love talking Rangers baseball, and I appreciate that you guys come back every night wanting to talk about it too. So thank you again. I appreciate it. Let me keep going here. I'll check on TikTok here, see if I didn't miss anybody, but we're going to start going towards tomorrow's game. All right. Tomorrow's game. Right now, by the way, Houston is up 4-3 on San Diego in the bottom of the 10th. Astros took the lead in the top half, and the Mariners game, I think, went final. Altuve got tossed for taking off his shoe and his sock to protest a call. Wow, I need to see the replay on this. Jose Altuve ejected in this game, taking off his sock and shoe to argue the call. I got an ad playing right now, so I'm not watching it. He took off his left shoe and sock and limped over to the umpire, pointing at his foot to show where he was hit. So he fouls off a ball, and it goes to third base. And the umpire basically said, no, you didn't hit it off your foot. It's a fair ball. And Altuve is arguing that the ball went off of his foot. So he takes off the shoe and the sock to show that he got hit with the ball. And they eject him for it. That is a hilarious story. Y'all got to go watch this replay. It's pretty ridiculous. Altuve taking off his sock and his shoe to show the umpire, limping over, and the umpire just ejects him right away. Oh, I love this. I'm not watching with sound. I would love to watch this with sound after the show, but go watch the Jose Altuve ejection. Oh, my goodness. Yep, Natalie says Osuna and a free agent. That would be great. Osuna, get a free agent outfielder. I'd love to see them upgrade first base with Nate Lowe. We'll see what they do with the catching position. You've got to add a few pieces in the bullpen, maybe a starter. I think that the Rangers are probably not going to be making huge splashes in the offseason, but I think there are some very solid moves to be made. And again, we're going to talk more about it as we get into the offseason. Yeah, San Diego, I hope they can pull this one out, though, over the Stros. Looks like right now I'm going to pull up the game day on this one, and I'll pull up the Rangers Blue Jays preview for tomorrow as well. But right now, wild pitch. Diaz just walked. So it's first and third. Arias is up to bat right now. So things are looking actually pretty good for the Padres at this point. They'd have to like strike out three straight times for this to not go well. Arias is definitely the guy you want up to put the ball in play. So I'll keep you posted on the Stros. I always say It's just about the best day ever when the Rangers win and the Astros lose. So we have a vested interest in this game. So first and third, nobody out. Arias up to bat. We'll see if he can walk it off with a ball in the gap. That sure would be fun. By the way, Astros have Neris on the mound right now pitching. Neris on the mound. All right, I'll keep going. Yeah, somebody on TikTok did say White Sox 2024 champs. Look, I appreciate the comments. I really do. All comments, ones like these just make me chuckle, but it's all good. Let me keep going, though. So scores and games for tomorrow. Let's check it out. So starting pitcher for tomorrow, I believe, is Bradford. I don't know who the Blue Jays are playing, but Cody Bradford, okay, they're starting Francis, who is 8-4 with a 3.50 ERA on the year. Francis, let's see where he's at. He, over his last seven starts, has a 1.50 ERA, so he's been pitching really, really well. He's coming off of a game against the Mets on 9/11. Eight innings pitched, one hit, one earned run, one walk, only struck out one. That's crazy. Eight innings pitched, only one strikeout. That's wild. He does actually get strikeouts. He has 46 strikeouts in his last 48 innings pitched. That's pretty crazy, though. Against the Mets, eight innings, one strikeout. Just not something you see all the time when a guy's going that many. So the Rangers might have their hands full tomorrow with Francis, who is on a little bit of a heater right now over his last seven games. Rangers do have some ABs versus Francis. We've got Garcia 0-1, Heim 0-4, Jankowski 0-2, Young 0-1. Are we going to have a hit? Come on. Nate Lowe 0-3, or 1-3, excuse me. Nate Lowe 1-3. Ornelas has a walk, I think, against him, one plate appearance. Simeon 0-2, Josh Smith 1-2, Leody 0-2. So a lot of offers. This could be a rough game potentially for the Rangers. I hope to be wrong. On the other side, we've got Bichette with one hit and one at-bat against Bradford. Vladdy is 0-1. Kirk 0-1. Schneider 0-1. Springer 0-1. Maybe this is going to be a classic pitcher's duel tomorrow. Who knows? But, man, I'd like to see Cody Bradford bounce back. Evo and Bradford, a little bit of a rough start their last couple of times that they've been out. I want to see Bradford bounce back. He's back in the friendly confines of Globe Life Field. We've talked about with Bradford, the home away splits are actually pretty crazy for him. He is a much better pitcher at Globe Life Field. The numbers are wild. I'm going to read them to you guys updated after he gave up all the runs that he did last game in Arizona. So the splits read like this. At home in 2024, Cody Bradford is 4-1 with a 2.57 ERA. On the road, Cody Bradford is 1-2 with an 8.10 ERA. That is a crazy difference. I mean, look, he's only played in four road games versus eight home games. But nevertheless, 8.10 ERA on the road versus a 2.57 ERA at home, that is a crazy split. So my hope is that back at home, Cody Bradford gets back to being dominant and has a great game in front of the home fans. That would have to be the plan. Hopefully the Rangers can secure the series win tomorrow. Don't leave it to Thursday. Go ahead and get you a series win tomorrow on Wednesday. And then we just have fun watching Kumar Rocker toss it on Thursday, maybe getting a sweep. Does that sound like a great plan? I think so. So right now, by the way, in the Astros game, let's see if we got any updates. So looks like, unfortunately, we've got Arias grounding out. And I think that the Padres did not get a run off of that ground out. Nope, they did not get a run. Fernando Tatis just struck out swinging. So now it's first and third, two out. And our boy, Yurickson Profar, is up to bat right now with a chance to win it. Actually, he was just hit by a pitch. So now it's bases loaded. And we're going to have Manny Machado up to bat with the bases loaded. Man, I'd love to be watching this right now. But you know why I can't? Because Las Vegas is blacked out from six different teams, and the Padres are one of them. So, unfortunately, all I get is game day. But, man, would I love a Manny Machado walk-off right here. Yeah, that is really unfortunate that they were not able to get anything with Arias and Fernando Tatis up. So, we've got Manny Machado coming up to bat right now with the bases juiced. 94-mile-an-hour fastball, high and tight. Hitting Yurickson Profar. So he's on his way down to first base right now, I'm assuming. No updates quite yet, but we'll keep them coming. Around the, let me see, around the major leagues, I don't know if there's a whole lot fun stuff for us to chat about, but I'm going to look at the headlines, sift past the Dodgers stuff. We talked about Altuve. Ohtani now at 48 homers, 48 steals. Second deck bomb that he hit tonight. Juan Soto hit the 200th home run of his career. Bobby Witt makes history as the first shortstop with two 30-30 seasons. Bobby Witt, man, that dude, I've told y'all, I would love Bobby Witt on the Rangers. Oh, it's just like the name, it's just too perfect. I would love Bobby Witt. I love guys with power and speed. Oh, that's why Ohtani, the 50-50 thing, I mean, that is crazy. But Bobby Witt, second 30-30 season, only shortstop in major league history to have two 30-30 seasons. That's impressive. You're one of one in anything when it comes to Major League Baseball. That is impressive. Still no updates on this Astros-Padres game. I'm wondering if Yerkson really got hurt or something. I don't know. Nothing yet on the updates, and it's been a couple of minutes here, so we'll see. Continuing on down the list, we have MLB announces expanded roles. That's nothing. Nothing burger on that story. Acuna looks like big bro on first major league home run. Oh, no. This is not what we wanted to hear tonight. This is not what we wanted to hear tonight. So last year, of course, Luis Angel Acuna gets traded for Max Scherzer. What do you know? Tonight, he's hitting his first major league home run. Alas, that's a little depressing. Considering Max Scherzer is probably not going to be a Ranger next year, and we really did not get a whole lot out of him. Yes, he contributed in October last year, but we did not get a whole lot out of Max Scherzer. Let's be totally real. I really hope Luis Angel Acuna, I don't wish for him to like do bad, don't get me wrong, but I really hope he doesn't become like a star, please. That would be painful. Look, it'd be like Emmanuel Clase all over again. Looks like it's a 1-2 count on Manny Machado right now. So let's see if Manny can bring home this dub for the Padres. 1-2 count, foul ball on pitch number 3, inside on a splitter. Neris still pitching, righty on righty matchup. Man, come on, Manny. Base knock somewhere, ball in the gap. Base knock wins the game. Right, you got runners on second and third. Base is loaded here. Come on. In play runs. That's what I want to see right now. And nope, in play outs. Astros are going to win this one. That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But you know what? The Rangers get a win. Can't worry about the Stros. Sucks, though. The Padres have first and third with nobody out, and you can't score. Come on. You guys are not the Rangers in 2024. Seriously. We got to laugh at ourselves a little bit here. That's something the Rangers would do. First and third, nobody out, and not score a single run? You got to be kidding me. Okay. I believe someone said in this group and was lambasted by all the Rangers homers, but what do I know? Aaron, explain that one a little bit more. I know sometimes I'm all over the place. I'm not quite connecting the dots on that one. Give me a little bit more on that one as I close the show up. So tomorrow, I think game at normal time, I believe. Another similar start time. I'm going to check this one out just to make sure, but I believe tomorrow is a similar start time for Texas against Toronto. And then Thursday is the day game, if I'm not mistaken. So 7:05 Central Time start. So 5:05 out here for me. Thursday is a 1:35 Central Time start. Kumar Rocker against Kevin Gausman. So time to wrap up the show. I want to say thank you to all y'all for tuning in. If you are watching right now, not subscribed to the channel, not following the account, would greatly appreciate if you do so. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves Major League Baseball, please send them my way. Tell them about the channel. Share one of my videos with them. And you know, I also do a lot of football content, college football with the Texas Longhorns, NFL football, covering the Dallas Cowboys as well. We do Dallas Mavericks once that season gets started up in October. I greatly, greatly appreciate all you guys hanging in, wins, losses. It's been awesome talking baseball with you. We still got a couple weeks left, and we're going to enjoy every game down the stretch here. Aaron, you were talking about Acuna. Perfect. That makes total sense here. Look, I don't know what Acuna is going to turn into. I don't hope that he has a bad career. I just hope that he doesn't become the megastar that we traded away for basically a year of Max Scherzer. But you know what? It happens sometimes. It happens. I'm sure the Cardinals were kicking themselves last year as they watched Adolis Garcia tear it up in October for the Rangers. It just happens. But we're going to wrap it up for tonight. I hope y'all have a great rest of your Tuesday night. Come back and hang out again tomorrow, hopefully after another Texas Rangers win. If not, catch me on the replay. All of our lives are posted to Facebook and YouTube after we're finished here. Check us out there if you're not able to go live with us tomorrow night. And as I always say, to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.